It is a blessing to be with you all this morning. Thank you very much for making the decision to worship with us here at Azalea City. Again, if you are visiting with us, we appreciate you. We appreciate you making the decision to come out our way. We appreciate those who may not be able to be here who have tuned in online. Azalea City is a great place, and it's always been a great place. But lately, we haven't maybe had the fire because we were missing somebody. But she's back today. Rhoda Carpenter is here, y'all. Rhoda has been out for quite some time because she's been very, very sick. And I saw Rhoda on Thursday at Mobile Christian, and she was just made my day. And today she told me that she hoped to be here, and so I looked back there and I saw her. And so Rhoda, we're going to keep praying for you, but we are so glad to have your energy and your sweet smile back with us today. The message of the cross. We've been talking about it the last couple weeks. We've been talking about it from Paul's perspective in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, where he boldly states the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. You see, the power of God, think about that. How powerful is God? In 6 days, He created everything we know. He spoke it into existence. He took dirt and He breathed into it life. And He made us. He made man. He was able to take water from underneath the ground and through the skies and flood this entire earth. He did it to wipe out sin. He was able to take a man's staff and a man's willingness to hold up that staff, he was able to take the Red Sea and make two walls out of it so they could walk right down the middle. Our God is powerful. And when I read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, it tells me that it's the cross that's the most powerful of all. You see, think about it this way. Without the cross, we have no hope. Without the cross, we have no opportunity to see God. We want to see God. We want to see God just like Isaiah wanted to see God. In Isaiah 6, you remember when he was called up and he was before God as he's about to become a prophet of the Most High. And he sees God and he sees those cherubim and he sees the holiness of God, and all of a sudden he realizes how much of a sinner he is, how unclean his lips are. You see, we can't understand and fathom the power that God is, the holiness that God is. But through the cross, one day, we'll see God face to face. That's why the cross, the message of the cross, is power to those of us who are being saved. You know what happens with power? I said this in my class earlier, but people are drawn to it. People are drawn to power because it's just something that is, I guess, fascinating to them. You'll see people that have power on this earth, whether that's money or fame or both, some political nature. They are celebrities. They walk into a room and people flock to them. people in groves go out to see them and hear them and watch them and just to be able to get a picture or something with them or a moment in time. And that proves to us that how powerful power is. But I want you to understand this. The power of God is far greater than anything we can imagine. And we need to be drawn to it. We need to have our whole mind, our whole heart, our whole everything drawn to the power of God. But you know what happens a lot of times? We go into hiding. The question is, can we really hide from God? Think about that. The opposite of drawing near is hiding. It's drawing away. It's moving away. If we are attracted to the power of God, that's a great thing. But if we are not, and it's foolishness to us, then we've gone into hiding. But I want you to know something. Spoiler alert. You can't hide from God. Adam and Eve tried. Adam and Eve tried. Adam and Eve remind me of when we, myself and my two children, at different ages of their lives when they were little, we would play hide and seek in the house. The reason we would play it in the house is just because they were bored or something like that, and I'd be like, hey, I want to play hide and seek. They would always be for it. And when they were real little, I think it was mainly Madeline the most, but I would be like, okay, I counted to 10, here I come, I'm going to come find you. And she would be like, I'm in the bathroom, Daddy. And what she was saying is, I'm hiding, but I really don't want you to scare me. And I would obviously know where she was. She was hiding, but she wasn't hiding. Adam and Eve, they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And instantly they knew they should not be naked. So they went and they tried to cover themselves. But then they heard God. And what did they do? They went and they hid themselves from God. You and I, nor Adam and Eve, can hide from God. So God says, where are you? See, God knew where they were. He knew exactly where they were. But where were they spiritually? Where were they in their walk with Him? Where were they in avoiding the tree of knowledge of good and evil? They were not drawn to the power. They were drawn to the sin. The question has to be today, where are you? Where am I? What is the message of the cross to us? It's either foolishness or it's power. Now, I don't believe anybody in here would say the cross is foolishness. But according to the way we live our lives, sometimes the reality is it is foolishness to us. It's make-believe. It's not real. God's not out there. Hell's not real. Heaven's not real. And you might not ever say that, but sometimes by the way we live our lives, the results show it. And so what happens is we go into hiding. Why, today I want us to come out of hiding. I want us to be drawn to the power. I want us to realize there is nothing greater than the power of God, and we can obtain it, we can experience it through the power and message of the cross of Christ. So today, I want you to think about drawing near. I want you to look at something in Scripture where someone did have to draw near. And that is Moses. If you want to go ahead and turn to the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3. The first reason we draw near to God is at His request. Look at what the Bible says here in Exodus, beginning in verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him in the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Why did Moses draw near to the bush? Because God requested him. Now, at first, he saw this experience and he said, This is an amazing scene. I mean, we all would, wouldn't we? It's a bush that's on fire, but it's not burning up. And so that would be something spectacular, and it would get our attention. And so we would be drawn to that because, again, it's a powerful moment. But as Moses gets closer, maybe he has some reservation. Maybe he's like, I don't know what's going on here. There's something strange. And then all of a sudden, God calls out, Moses, Moses. And at his request, Moses encounters God at the burning bush. You see, God is powerful. And we have to be drawn to Him. And the first thing we need to remember is He has called us to do so. Remember that He is not willing that any should perish, but any of us that desire to be saved, we've been called. We've been called to live right. We've been called to follow Him. Jesus came to save sinners, Paul said, of which I am chief. Christ, the message of the cross, at the request of God, come near. Experience it. Understand it. In order to do that, we've got to be willing to serve. Moses had it made according to the way God's plan was going to work. He really had it made in general anyhow as far as living. He lived in Pharaoh's court. What are the odds of Moses in that basket floating down the river at the exact time that Pharaoh's daughter is going to be bathed? If that is an accident, the odds of that happening have to be astronomical. Let me tell you something. Spoiler alert again, it was no accident. It was part of God's plan. Because now, who can resist the baby? I mean, there are some babies here, and man, every one of them have my attention. You know, if they give me a high five or they give me a smile or they talk to me during a sermon, you know, I love them. I love babies are cute and they're sweet and they're precious. And I love the mamas and daddies who bring them here. Well, Pharaoh's daughter was no different. Here's this little baby floating down. I mean, if we saw a baby out and about, what would we do? We'd stop what we're doing. Like, where is this baby's mama? We got to get it safe. She was the same way. And so now she takes this baby in, still gets the nurse from his mom, and at the end of the day, he's raised up in Pharaoh's court. And one day, he does what he's supposed to do. He's going to go into Pharaoh, who at this point would be like a brother to him, right? And he's going to say, hey, brother, all these people that are Hebrews, let's just let them go. And he was going to be like, okay, brother, that's great. You served me. Hey, just tell him to get out of here. And it was going to work perfectly because it was God's plan. But Moses messed it up. He messed it up. But you see, Moses wasn't ready. And so what does Moses do to mess it up? He goes and he sees an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he's had enough of it. And he beats that Egyptian to death. And then he says, oh no, I've messed up. So he tries to cover it up. Well, the wind blows, and he gets busted. And so now he leaves the king's court, and he leaves the freedom of Egypt, and he flees all the way to Jethro. Well, when he encounters Jethro, Jethro has a bunch of sheep that need a shepherd. So he goes from living in the king's court to now being a shepherd, to serving Jethro. What did he do? He served his ultimate father-in-law by being this shepherd. He lowered himself. He became a servant. And you know what he did one day? He led those sheep to the mountain of God. And there, at God's request, he encountered the burning bush. You see, it's all about serving. If we want to draw near to God, He has requested that we serve. But secondly, in order to draw near at God's request, we've got to be willing to see. In verse 3 of Exodus 3, He says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. You know what? Sometimes we don't see what's right before us. We get so distracted by everything else out there that we forget to see what's really important. I can do that myself. Sometimes I can get so sidetracked with everything. I can get so distracted that sometimes I neglect what is right in front of me. And if we do that spiritually, it can be devastating. So today, at the request of God, open your eyes. Be willing to see that the cross is the power of God. Moses was willing to see what was going on with this bush. But then the third thing, if we're going to draw near to God at His request, we must be willing to do, we got to remove our sandals. In verse 5 there, he tells him, remove your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy ground. Now listen, we understand the point that God was so holy that filth could not be before Him. And what we walk on, the ground we walk on, the dirt, the germs and everything that's around us, those make our shoes dirty, filthy, what have you. And even today, people would be like, hey, can you take your shoes off or whatever it may be? Don't track that in, you know, and stuff like that. So God is saying, hey, you're standing before me, remove your sandals. But the spiritual application is this. We can't come before the presence of God with filth in our lives. The power of God is the message of the cross to those of us who are being saved. So think about it this way. The cross takes away our filth. So at God's request, be drawn to it. Serve. See. Take off your sandals. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering or patient toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, He's requesting for us to be saved. In Romans 5, we see there that for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Despite the filth, despite the attitude of serve me. And despite the blindness, Christ still died for us. But if we're going to be drawn near to the power of the cross, there's a second point that we must see. We draw near to be rescued. In verse 6 of Exodus, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. You see, who wants to rescue us? Think about that. Who is coming to our rescue? He is the Father. That's what he just said to Moses there in verse 6. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses realized how powerful God is. He hid his face. He was unworthy. He felt unworthy. Why? Because there is so much power in who God is. God is the Father of all. And when I think about that, and I think about the importance of my father in my life. You know, my mom and dad worked as a team. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. But guess what? Neither were their children. And so, they did the best they could to nurture, to discipline, to raise us up in the Lord. And that's important to me. I am here today because my parents cared how much more does our Heavenly Father care? How much more does our Heavenly Father want what's best for our lives? If we're going to be drawn near to Him, it's to be rescued. It's at His request, but it's to be rescued, right? I want to be saved. And it takes the Father to do that. Well, guess what? That Father, He's faithful. He's faithful to you. He's faithful to me. In fact, He said He is the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Was He faithful to them? You better believe He was. Was He patient with them? You better believe He was. He told Abraham, we've been studying this in class today, He told Abraham that I am going to make you a great nation, and through your seed, through your offspring, every nation will be blessed. Jesus Christ ultimately came because Abraham was willing to obey the power of God. Jesus Christ went to the cross and He died on that cross. He was buried in a grave and He resurrected from that grave so that today all nations can be blessed. He came through the seed of Abraham. God is faithful. He is not slack concerning His promises. In other words, if He makes a promise, it's going to come true. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14 that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. You see, that's a promise, but our God is faithful. If He promised He's going to rescue us, we need to take that to the bank. But thirdly, under to be rescued, we also have to remember that, oh, I went too far. We're not forsaken. In verses 11 and 12 of Exodus, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. God said, or Moses said, who am I? I get it. I think I would probably feel less than Moses in that moment. This is the king of Egypt who, he's murdered one of their people and he fled. He's done all these things that probably has made this king of Egypt, this Pharaoh, very, very upset. Remember how powerful Pharaoh was. Moses said, who am I that I should go before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and say, let these people go? Who am I, God? God said, Moses, listen to me. I will certainly be with you. Wow. That's power. He said, I want you to rescue my people. My people are in bondage. Rescue them. I am the Father of all. I am faithful and I will not forsake you. That's something to be drawn to. That is the power of God. You see, the reason He wanted to rescue them is found in verses 7 through 10 of Exodus. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I also have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Why do we draw near to God? To be rescued. Sin captures us, and we become enslaved to it. But Jesus Christ, just like Moses, for the Israelites, became our deliverer. And He rescued us. Lord, You know everything I've done. Every thought I've had. You know everyone. And Lord, You know every time I fall, but still, You come to my rescue when I call. Lord, You hear every idle word, every thoughtless deed, how it seems absurd that, Lord, You give not what I am due, but mercy, You come to my rescue. Lord, You care, and You've become my friend. Amazing love, whose boundaries have no end. And Lord, You show what a greater love can do by being there for my rescue. And Lord, I give all I can give, all of my heart as long as I shall live. So Lord, oh Lord, I just want to thank You for coming to my rescue. Why else do we draw near? Number one, at His request. Number two, to be rescued. And finally, for a relationship. You see, in Exodus chapter 19, beginning in verse 1, we have these words. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day, they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and encamped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, and the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." Isn't it amazing? The God of all the earth, the God who spoke everything we know, everything we can see with the greatest of telescopes, the Hubble telescope, and even the one that's been made, all these telescopes that are out there that are so fancy that they zoom out and they see all these galaxies and they see all these stars and they see all these things, and we look and we see how big this earth is, which is really small compared to everything else. God spoke all that into reality in 6 days. That God, Yahweh, Jehovah, the one and only living and true God. He wanted a relationship with Israel, and He wants a relationship with His Israel, you and me, today. What happens when we draw near to God? We draw near at His request. We draw near to be rescued. We draw near to have this relationship. What happens when we have this relationship? Well, the first thing, we're going to mount up with wings like eagles. He said it right here in Exodus 19. Look back at verse 4. "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings." And then in Isaiah chapter 40, I appreciate Gabriel reading that to us. It talks about those who lose heart, those who faint. He says, if you will just renew your strength and you will wait on me, then you will soar like eagles. You will soar far above your problems. Soar far above the troubles of this earth. When we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we aren't crawling on this earth. We're soaring above it all. Whatever problem there is, whatever issue there is, whatever struggle there is, you can soar above it all. He said, also though, if you will have a relationship with me, according to what he says in Exodus 19, you will be my treasure. Look back at verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people." That's so ironic in itself. God doesn't need any treasure. He's God. He's got it all. But you know what He said about us? If we will desire a relationship with Him and we will encounter that, we'll be drawn to Him, the message of the cross will be the power of God to those of us who are being saved. If we will do that, we'll be God's treasure. That's pretty special just to think about. But then finally, He also said, if you will desire this relationship with me, and you'll be drawn to me, you'll be priests and you'll be holy, verse 6. "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Sounds a lot like what Peter said. Peter said, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people. The cross of Christ. There's a lot of power. There's a lot of message that that cross gives. It speaks to us in so many different ways. But the thing I want you to focus on right now is where we started. God asked Adam and He asked Eve, "Where are you?" He knew where they were hiding. It was like that bear trying to hide behind that tree. They stuck out like sore thumbs. It was like my little girl saying, "I'm in the bathroom." Just like I knew where she was, God knows where you are. But the power of the cross needs to be drawing you out. Just like that bush illuminated for Moses, allow the cross to illuminate in your lives today. You see, it's time to come out of hiding. It's time to face the truth. Today, if you need rescuing, allow Him to rescue you. Today, if you need to be in a saved relationship with Him by being immersed in water for the forgiveness of all your sins, start that relationship today. Draw near to the power of the cross. Come out of hiding. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.